As we've heard this morning, Australia has contributed $5 million as part of an initial assistance package for Vanuatu. Military planes are also being sent with emergency supplies to help with the relief effort. Julie Bishop is the Foreign Minister, and I spoke to her a short time ago. Julie Bishop, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Cyclone Pam, $5 million worth of aid we've sent so far, but certainly more could be needed, couldn't it?
$5 million is funding for the NGOs, Red Cross and United Nations partners. In addition to that, we've sent three military aircraft, a Hercules and two C-17s filled with medical supplies, life-saving supplies like water, sanitation, shelter. We've also sent personnel. Two more planes will leave today. So we have made a substantial start, but of course it's early days, so we're having to assess the damage, working very closely with the government of Vanuatu in responding to their needs and their requirements. So this will be an ongoing effort over a number of days, weeks, months ahead.
Can we turn to the Bali Nine? There's still no phone call from the Indonesian leader to Tony Abbott. Yesterday, Tanya Plibersek, the shadow foreign minister, said the fact that Tony Abbott couldn't get a call back showed the relationship wasn't good generally. Do you accept that?
Not at all. That is a very crude and ill-informed assessment of our relationship with Indonesia and shows an appalling lack of understanding. We have a very strong relationship with Indonesia. I have been speaking with my counterpart, Foreign Minister Masudi, on numerous occasions. We have been corresponding. We have a good cooperative working relationship. This is an issue where Australia and Indonesia don't share the same point of view. We oppose the death penalty at home and abroad, and we oppose Indonesia carrying out the death penalty on Australian citizens. That's why we have very respectfully requested President Widodo reconsider the clemency pleas of Mr. Sukumaran and Mr. Chan, and why we have respectfully appealed to his sense of mercy and forgiveness and humanity. After all, Indonesia does oppose the death penalty when it applies to Indonesian citizens on death row in other countries. So we're not asking Indonesia to do any more than Indonesia asks other countries to do in relation to its citizens.
The relationship's not always good, though, is it? I mean, you can't. I mean, it is rocky. It goes up and down and goes through troughs.
There have been times of challenges and disagreements, but it's
how. And Tanya Plibersek yesterday mentioned boat towbacks, for instance.
Well, she tied the issue of border protection in with the execution of two Australian citizens, and that was a very crude, ill-informed statement to make. But of course, it's how you deal with these issues. I mean, we inherited from Labor the live cattle ban, the Snowden allegations, and the fact that through the change of Labor policies on border protection, Indonesia once more found itself a destination point for a number of people seeking to come to Australia through the people smuggling trade. And we've had to deal with all of those issues one by one, and we do it quietly and methodically and respectfully.
On a couple of other issues, the China Infrastructure Bank. Now, you argued last year that we should support the US concerns that this could shift the balance of financial power in Asia. What's changed?
We have always been considering joining the AIIB, and we have a number of concerns, particularly in the area of governance and the shareholding. Currently, under the arrangements, China would have a shareholding of around 49 or 50%. Any other equivalent multilateral organisation would have a shareholding of up to, say, 20% for the major shareholder. So this would be a very different kind of arrangement, and I think that we need to review it and discuss it with China very carefully and also with the other members that are signing up for it. So it's been under constant review.
So reports that the Prime Minister has changed his mind, not necessarily correct. I mean, he may change his mind if you can get some sort of different deal.
Well, it's not a question of changing our mind. We set out a number of requirements that we would want to see, a number of changes we would want to see before Australia would consider it to be in our national interest to join it. And those matters are under continual discussion with China, and we are constantly reviewing it, talking to other people who are joining it. They are engaged in negotiations, and Australia is very interested in it.
But you're still concerned about the level of influence this might give China in the region?
Well, we're concerned about the governance, and we will continue to discuss this with China as we have been over the last few months.
So a different arrangement might be more suitable for the for your government?
Well, we set out what we would require. We said to China, these are the principles that we would expect for Australia to invest in something of this nature.
It's pretty clear, isn't it, from the very beginning that the US has been opposed to this. Is the fact that we are now considering, actively considering joining this, a sign that the relationship with the Obama administration isn't quite as good as it should be?
Not at all. We've always been considering this. We've always been considering
entering into the AIB. It's true that you did argue fairly strongly against it, though, last
year. I argued very strongly that we had to put in place certain requirements before we would consider entering into it. And we are continuing to discuss those issues with China in a very constructive way, very cooperative way, and we continue to inform the United States of what we're doing, and I'd like to see the United States involved in the discussions as well.
How would the US view our involvement?
Well, that would be a matter for the United States. I would keep the United States informed, as I would Japan, South Korea. There are a number of countries that have not joined, a number of G7 countries have not joined. So different countries are assessing the involvement of their respective country according to their national interest, and that's what Australia should and will be doing.
Okay, just quickly, a couple of issues the Parliament will be dealing with this week. Higher education seems to be about the only thing that Tony Abbott hasn't changed his mind on. Do you think it's a good idea to tie the research funding and potentially the jobs of 1,700 scientists to the legislation?
These higher education reforms are absolutely necessary.
But is it a good idea to tie
them? I'm coming to that. Okay. To ensure that our universities are able to compete, not only globally, but specifically with universities in our region. And I was education minister in 2006, 2007. This is what the universities were seeking then. They need to be free to compete with the rest of the world so that at least we can have some universities at the top end of rankings. And I'm amazed that people haven't embraced this, because the vice-chancellors who are running these universities, who know what the competition is, understand absolutely the necessities of our reforms. Now, we need savings, and in order to get those savings, we have to find them somewhere. So I say to the Labor Party, if you believe that our higher education system needs more support, we need to find savings. Help us find them. Now, Labor had $5 billion worth of savings that they identified. Now they're refusing to even back their own savings.
So does that include threatening the jobs of these 1,700 scientists? Because the chief scientist last week told us that the uncertainty is already causing some to leave.
Well, it's deeply concerning that a program like NCRES, and again, it was introduced when I was the education minister, I know the value of that program. It's deeply concerning that that is a program that would have to be under consideration, but all areas of the budget have to be considered for savings, because we inherited the largest deficits in Australia's history
but
from Labor.
But aren't these two separate things?
Funding savings?
No, the funding of the scientific research and the higher education.
It's all about finding savings. And so across a portfolio, savings have to be found. Across my portfolio, if I have to find savings, some very difficult choices have to be made. I don't enjoy it. None of us do. Now,
but you're not going to get through this way, are you?
We have to pay for
it. It's very clear. I mean, the crossbenchers, even this morning, Jackie Lambie says she's dragging herself out of hospital to come here so she can personally vote against it.
Vote against the higher education reforms. Well, that will cause the University of Tasmania, for example, to not have the opportunity to be among the better universities in Australia and in the world. So these higher education reforms are absolutely essential.
All right. The new anti-terror surveillance legislation is due to be voted this fortnight as well. There are still concerns from media organisations about the collection of journalists' metadata. Why not just amend the bill, like they have in the UK model, to exclude journalists' metadata?
Well, this is a matter for the Attorney General. It's his portfolio. The details of the negotiations with this legislation, I'll leave to him. But this information is vital. We know that all serious crimes have an element of metadata involved, so that we can detect crime. Metadata is absolutely essential. So we've looked at the legislation that other countries have put forward. We have drafted legislation that we think suits our needs. But if there are negotiations to be undertaken, then I'm sure the Attorney General will do that very competently.
Okay. Just finally, what do you make of Labor Party research which shows that while voters have turned off Tony Abbott, Of all the alternatives, including Malcolm Turnbull, you seem to be the most popular and the biggest threat to Labor.
Well, I think that my job is to get on with focusing on foreign policy. I'm not particularly concerned by internal Labor polling or focus group testing, and I'll just continue to act in the national interest and focus on our foreign policy initiatives and programs and policies. And I think the rest of us are focusing on governing, and that's what we'll continue to do.
Okay, Julie Bishop, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
It's the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, there.